Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday. Good morning. Welcome to Monday morning here at the, am I earphones, right? Let me turn them down. Okay. Let's start again. Okay. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on Monday, the 8th of June at 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Today, of course, is the 8th of June, Monday. So many things going on, and I'm joined here by Ashley, who's
good
got
morning.
Us, who's got the controls there, and what's the weather look like?
Well, first of all, I want to say happy National Best Friends Day, and this, I'm going to shout out to Stephanie. She is my best friend.
Today, hello, Stephanie. Is Stephanie listening?
She's probably sleeping right now.
Oh, well. You know, you're not best friends. You've almost been getting killed in a car wreck together. So, has that happened?
Not yet, no.
See, that's why I have best friends.
She's nocturnal and diurnal. So.
I've had a series of best friends, if you base it on that.
We are looking at a high of 82 degrees today, but that is going to be the coolest throughout much of the rest of the week. We are going up to 89 on Tuesday. Our hottest day will be Wednesday at 92. We're going to start dripping down a little bit to 90 on Thursday, and then we have a slight chance of showers going into the weekend. Those are probably going to be mountain showers like they were this weekend.
Well, we got some rain yesterday.
Yeah, there were like 3 drops that fell in Redding, and none of them were in my yard.
Oh, very sad. Well, that must have gotten the other 10,000 because it didn't rain hard, didn't rain long, but it did wet down the grass and all the pavement around us.
And have to keep the plants happy.
Yeah, you know, they love it. The weather report's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Do you have a coronavirus update?
We are up to 44 people as of yesterday. There were 2 new cases that were diagnosed yesterday. One was a woman in her 70s with no symptoms, and the other was a man in his 40s with symptoms. Both are staying isolated at home.
Okay. Anderson River Park, went down there Saturday. Linda and I went down there. First of all, we stopped at the Frontier Senior Center and picked up 2 tri-tip sandwiches that were just outstanding, and then went down to Anderson River Park to consume them. And we sat there at a table and watched the river going by, and then we started walking around the park. It is just beautiful down there. There were parts of the park that we had not seen before. And, of course, it wasn't real crowded, but there was a number of people there. People were happy out there. It was quieter. I guess you kind of like that. So we walked out to where the fishing area was, walked along a few of the trails, and then as we left, we drove around the park to see different parts of the park. And I tell you, some of the trees there are just absolutely beautiful. Huge trees. And it looks like somebody's taking care to, you know, to take out the dead branches and all of this. So people can, you know, you don't want to have a dead branch fall on somebody, of course. But it was just beautiful down there. And all this time, we have never been to Mosquito Serenade. Well, when they start to have them again, we're going to do that. We're not going to miss Mosquito Serenades. I go to a couple of them a year, and then the movies in the park that enjoy is starting again. I think that's, you know, fun to go to also. Again, it's a something for, you know, that we haven't done, mainly because just going out to outdoors, and it's usually a film for the whole family, and which can be okay. That can be good, but on the other hand, it could be a little boring for 2 adults. But those are things, though, we need to do, to kind of go out in our community and kind of look at how things are. Again, especially after being locked in. And I shouldn't say locked in. We haven't been locked in, you know, but you know what I mean. Nothing's going on. What are you doing when you get out now, since things are starting opening up?
I have been on a couple of walkabouts. where I just go visit somewhere interesting because I like it. This weekend, I actually stayed home. My sister and I baked a wedding cake, and their theme was succulents. So my hands yesterday were very green because I was dying marzipan. But when I'm getting out and about, I went to Bernie Falls and then Christmas Tree Cave, and then I went a different time on throughout. I followed the MODOK War, so when you guys started talking about that last week, I got super excited. But I retraced the steps of the natives during the MODOK War with all the landmarks I could find.
Okay.
So that was a lot of fun.
That was a I guess it could be the ultimate guerrilla war.
Yeah.
That was fought with was the U.S. Army.
Fantastic. And, this story, we have our own little Battle of Thermopylae right here in Reading, and it makes makes me happy.
Okay. What else? The we watched a movie last night, and if you get a chance to see this, it's called Ride Like a Girl, and it's a true story, and it's an Australian, and the Melbourne Cup is like the equivalent of our Triple Crown, I guess you'd say. It's a 2-mile horse race, and it's been there 155 years. When this thing was done, which was just a few years ago. And a woman, Melissa, won. She came from a family of 10 kids. Her mom died when she was 6 months old. Her dad was a racehorse trainer. So she was he was raising 10 children by himself. And it was amazing to see that, you know, the energy that everybody put in. But every one of his children was a rider, except two. One, Stevie, who was suffered from a mental illness, and one other didn't ride. The rest of them, and the majority were girls, all rode, were all jockeys. And either were and then went on to become trainers or married jockeys. One of her sisters was killed in a fall during this. And then she went on to become the only woman ever to win the Melbourne Cup. And this is after she had to come back from her horse fell as they won this one race. The horse fell and she fractured her skull. Damaged her frontal lobe, and it showed her coming back from that and how hard it was. But this was, you know, when you read about what the producers and the director was wanting, this is what woman director says, I want men to watch this and get a tear in their eye. And you know what? You could do that because of a family that just kept, that were so close to each other. And her brother, Steve, suffered from a Down syndrome. That's what I was trying to think of. Suffered from Down syndrome. And he was in the movie playing himself. It was great.
That's awesome.
And if you get a chance, this is something the whole family could watch or just adults. And it's called Ride Like a Girl. And it just came out this year. So it's pretty good. I think it's on Netflix. So I may be wrong about that. But I would recommend this. You know, if you're sitting there and you're tired of watching the Blastums and the movies or science fiction, you want to watch a movie that makes you feel good, but it shows people overcoming adversity and not quitting. And you know how I am about tenacity. You know, to me, that's the most important character trait you can have. Yes, you can be honest, you can, which is also important, but you can be the smartest, you can be the fastest, you can be the strongest. But if you don't have the tenacity to finish something, to work for something as hard as you can, to take a problem and say, I'm going to solve this, and then work at it and work at it and work at it until you can, or to keep trying until you succeed, that to me is so important. And it showed what this girl did, this woman did. And I think, I'm not sure, but, oh, and at the end, it said that she and her brother Steve started a training stable. So, you know, it ends up great, too, besides her just winning. But it shows the woman, you know, afterwards. And it's amazing how much she looks like the actress that plays the part. Or how much the actress looks like her, but she's a If you imagine riding these, you know, 2,000-pound animals at such speeds, she weighed 111 pounds when she was racing. So 50 kilos. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. I want to talk about this. What is going on with America right now when we want to defund the police? And in Minneapolis, they want to dismantle the police department. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about some of the things that, you know, this hysteria that is running across America. And I welcome your comments. I welcome your comments at 605-4567. So we're going to take a quick break. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You're looking for a place, you got a little chip in your windshield, and you're afraid that, you know what, that'll be okay. Well, if it gets really hot outside, that little chip can turn into a crack that quickly moves across your windshield. So why not have that fixed by an expert like Jeff Wurst, a veteran-owned business at 3208 South Market Street. You can head on down there. He can fix those chips. Make sure that nothing else happens with them. If you already have a crack in your windshield, he can fix those too. Over 2.5 feet in length, he can fix them. And he guarantees his work. Man of integrity. He's not going to waste your time. So head on down, 3208 South Market Street, to Crackmaster Windshield Repair and tell Jeff hello. We'll be right back.
Right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palos Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. 605-4567 is our phone number, 720 in the morning here on the 8th of June. Today, sunny with a high near 82. And by, oh gosh, maybe by Friday, a slight chance of showers. And on Saturday, and sunny's going to be high again near 87. I think the highest this week is going to be around 90 on Thursday. Tomorrow, up to 89, though. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. And you've got a story, Ashley.
Yeah, and we were talking about National Best Friends Day. My best friend is also my editor for my books. And we are just about to finish this entire series, which has been a multi-year project. So I got her a necklace that is relevant to some of her writing. And nowhere in the world could you find these particular 8 gems embedded in a necklace small and elegant enough for Stephanie.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to Four Winds Jewelry at your recommendation, and Rebecca helped me pick out settings for it, and then found all of the gems and all of that, and just, it's a very random collection of gems, and mm-hmm. I wanted them set in a certain way, and she was great about getting it all, and I got it this weekend. It looks fantastic. I am, like, so excited to give it to Stephanie.
And you know what? That is really a great idea, because, one, they have the gems. They have the expertise to put it together with Henry, mm-hmm. and who's Rebecca's husband. And they have that ability to do that. And I think that's really special. You know, it's one thing to go out and buy something, and but when you design it, or with their help,
it's special. Yeah, and the setting that we ended up picking out only could seat 7 gems, and there were 8 in this particular collection, uh-huh. which was important. So they found an extra setting and just, like, welded it on, and it looks perfect. It looks like it was naturally that way.
Wow.
It's great. I like it.
Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. You just got a personal recommendation there. Well, let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, absolutely, Richard.
So history repeats itself, right? The only thing that changes is the names and the dates. And if you remember back in the Obama administration, Loretta Lynch started the Strong Cities Initiative for partial United Nations control over local police regarding extremist terrorist groups.
Okay.
So that's where this is going to go with the police defunding. They're not going to defund it. What they'll do is they'll reorganize it. They'll invite in Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, and these other left-wing groups to reestablish policies. And remember what happened. The BLM folks and the Antifa folks, they're okay to riot and stuff, but the Patriots, no, they can't riot, and they have to social distance. So and if you think that stuff can't happen locally here, those policies where the Patriots are going to be the bad folks and our police departments reorganize in that same respect, well, remember, we have a police chief here in town that, wants you to turn in your neighbors when they're not following certain rules. So, and the city council allowed him to do that or asked him to do that. We're not sure yet. So I think that's where all that's going. And that's not going to be good if that happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think there's more common sense than that. I look at what's happening.
Well,
I'm just saying is that, but then the people here, if it looks like something like that's happening. We're going to stand up. I mean, I would never stand up to defund. I would. I tell you what. You want to see marches? You know, if they say that, you know what, we want to defund the police, which would never happen in this age. But if you said you saw that, what do you think this? What do you think the marches would look like then, Richard? I tell you what, you would have people that never once in their life ever thought about joining a protest. They just do their jobs, they work, make money, pay their taxes so people can protest. They'd be out in full force. You'd see, for the first time, you'd see thousands of people marching in this city.
Yeah.
If it came to that. I can just tell you that. I know, you know, if they, you know what, they would be in wheelchairs, they would be walking, they'd be on their horses. They would protest that. That's not going to happen in the city. And if you look at the statistics of the polling throughout the United States, the vast majority of people think that no police, you know, they don't want their police departments defunded. It looks like.
Well, remember the big cities. I'm sorry. Remember the big cities. They were all run by liberal Democrats.
Well, Minneapolis right now. And that's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
But go on. Finish your thought.
This will spread. This will spread to the other large cities. And remember, if you have not read Michael Savage's book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, there actually is a lot of facts and logic and common sense that explain liberalism. And I highly recommend everybody read that because it really gets into their mindset. And then you can understand these liberals. And let me say one other thing that I've heard from a podcaster, and then I'll get off of here. And the podcaster says this one thing about large American cities. Show me a large American city in decay, and I will show you a city being run by Democrats at all levels for decades. Thank you, Carl.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Okay, let's talk about this. You know, Minneapolis is the largest city that's come out and said this. Their city council, and it appears that the city council then has got a veto-proof majority. The mayor does not want to dismantle, and this is beyond defund. This is dismantle the police department, not just defund it, but dismantle it. Garcetti down in L.A. has already taken $1.5 million out of the police budget. Now, he didn't take it out of the, he took the, they were supposed to get a $1.5 million increase, and he just canceled that one for this coming year and said they're going to use it in social programs and other things. But Minneapolis, their city council there said, no, we want to dismantle this police department. Council President Linda Bender, six others, attended an event about dismantling it and all spoke for that. The mayor himself, Mayor Frey there, says, no, we do not, we can go back and we can, you know, we need to go in and look about how we can change things, but dismantling the police department is just ridiculous. Well, his city council can override that and they can dismantle it. So it'd be interesting to see if that happens. They have, one of those city council members, Jeremiah Ellison, who is the son of the state attorney general, Keith Ellison, has openly declared his support for Antifa, and which has been one of the, you know, people say, well, Antifa, now there's no Antifa. Now you're hearing that. There's no Antifa. Really, go up to Portland and look at the Rose Group up there. They're all Antifa, and they run the city when they want to. Is Antifa real? Yes. Yes, of course it's real. To say it's not real, well, it's not a real organization. Really? If you listen to some of the, you know, they had a really, this weekend, We the People, they were interviewing somebody that was talking about Antifa, about their protest books, about how to run the police from one side of the city to the other. They have sophisticated communications. So you might want to think, well, maybe they, you know, are they organized? Or is it just groups of people when they get together, their whole thing is, well, how hard is it to just put on a mask and let's just riot now? But if you start looking at reality, and that's what we're going to do when we get back from this. You know, when you're talking about, everybody's talking about defund the police departments in Minneapolis, let's just dismantle it and build something that's more of a social, that works on the social level with keeping crime down and addressing all the matters which causes crime. And I can't wait to see. I can't, you know what? There may be some good ideas coming out of this. I mean, I'm not totally opposed if you say, I want to change police departments the way they look. But also, you know, it's not just, you know, I want to have more people trained to have people disengage or to, you know, calm down the situation. You want to have things like that? I think it's a great idea. You know, more mental health people, more people that are trained to de-escalate situations. Our police right here in Reading are training. They get training all the time on how to de-escalate something. And when it, you know, when it reaches the point, then though when it becomes life-threatening, the police need to be able to protect themselves and other people. But when we come back, let's talk about some of the things that are reality and true statistics when we come back. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. They're open. They're taking appointments at 244-9478. They are thoroughly cleaning up in between people. If, you know, according to all of the directions they get, washing, sanitizing, all of that, if you're worried about that, only one person in there at a time. But they're open. Man's last stronghold. Give them a call at 244-9478. However, I'm not sure that this thing about being around other people is still even in effect when you have protests that are hundreds of thousands of people shoved in together, or 400 to 500 people on Court Street that were all shoved in together, some wearing masks, some not. Most of them wearing masks, but I'm not sure if that was because of the COVID or if it's because they didn't want to be identified, you know, in the photos. Anyway, we'll be right back. 7:31 in the morning, and it's going to be a beautiful day.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Our elderly, they're not just people that are older. They're grandmothers that share their secret recipes. The grandpa that tells heartfelt stories of a much more simpler time. They're our living link to the past and a vital part of our future. While most are cherished, sadly, many are abused. Shining Care is providing an opportunity for our community to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of older persons by raising awareness and providing invaluable information during the free webinar on June 26th, 11 a.m. to 1:30, featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood and an interactive panel of local experts and officials. Topics including tips on elder abuse prevention for people of all ages, how to reduce the risk of elder abuse culled from his extensive criminal prosecution of felony elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation, plus info on COVID-19 scams, self-isolation with an older adult loved one, and the pent-up frustrations, and much more. Registration at shiningcare.org/events or 232-5543. Sponsored by PS2 Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, Cornerstone Community Bank, My Umbrella Marketing, and Marquis Shasta.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to GFI Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. Moving into our 11th year here pretty soon. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And today, of course, the 8th of June, 7:35 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Ready and Home Helpers, do your loved ones or do you need some extra help at home? The elective surgeries have started again. People already had their knee surgeries and hip surgeries. Maybe you need a couple extra hands at home. Well, that's what Home Helpers does. They're there to help you, reduce the stress, make sure you're healthy, make sure you're being taken care of. And whether it's just a couple hours a day or if it's 24 hours a day, Sharon Clark can do that. She has trained professionals, all background checked. All been drug checked. Everything that you can possibly imagine, plus the training that she has for all of her people. And I guarantee you, you will not be sorry by calling Sharon Clark at 226-8350 if you need some assistance in your home. She'll give you a complimentary in-home consultation so that you can take a look at it. They'll match you up with somebody that is going to be just perfect for your situation. Home Helpers. There's no place like home, and there's no place like Home Helpers of Reading. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. Okay. We start talking about, let's just go to statistics here. I mean, you can say they lied, but just simple statistics. In 2018, there were 7,407 black homicide victims. And I'm getting this out of an article out of the Wall Street Journal. And assuming a comparable number of victims last year, those 9 unarmed black victims of police shootings represent about 0.1% of all African Americans killed in 2019. By contrast, a police officer is 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. And they've said that when they take into this, they find white police officers were less likely than black or Hispanic officers in the Philadelphia Police Department to shoot an unarmed black suspect. So you've got to take into this. You've got to look at it. You've got to look at the point that was what happened to George Floyd was horrible. Even if he had committed a crime. And people forget that they were called because he had passed a counterfeit $20 bill. It doesn't make any difference that the fact that he committed an offense. What makes the difference is that the police, in the case of this one officer and then the 3 others that just kind of watched it happen, became not only the arresting officer, but the judge, the jury, and in this case, the executioner. Not because he did it to purposely kill the man, but he didn't care. He didn't care. And you have to, that's the thing that you really need to look at if you're going to be looking at police, is what happens when you get that very small percentage that maybe just don't care anymore. They don't see the people they arrest as human beings, whether they're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. They just don't care that they're human beings. And that, to me, is the huge danger of people that are, you know, there's some police out there, and of course, not every police, not 10% of them, not 5% of them, maybe not even a, you know, 2%, but they're so burnt out at this point, they don't care. This guy did this. I don't care what he says because, frankly, you know what? I just don't care. And he keeps his head, he keeps his knee on this guy's neck. What is bothersome is the other three that didn't tell him to move his knee. And that part is really bothersome because now you have to ask yourself, is this something that is this something endemic? Endemic in the Minneapolis Police Department. But to dismantle the police department, of course, is wrong. To go in there and have it really looked at, and maybe by some, I mean, you know, outside mental health professionals to start talking to these guys and girls, there's, you know, you can't help but have a certain level of post-traumatic stress when you're working in a job like this, in a large city where there's violence, there's anger, there's your life's on the line every day when you're going into certain sections of the city. How many of them are getting, you know, are actually seeing somebody to help them, you know, relieve some of this pressure or relieve some of the incidents of something that's happened to them, either another officer being attacked, they've been attacked, they've lost people in the city, in the fire department and the police department through violence. What's being done that way? Anyway, you can go on and talk about this. Now, as far as the defunding of or cutting back on the money, I mean, I don't understand the reasoning behind this, except as Richard said, you want to cause chaos. I think people right now are saying things and doing things that are just extremely off the wall because they can, because they're getting, oh, it's the next thing that our mainstream media can run to is defund the police departments. Defund them. That's what's going to take care of it, is that we defund the people that are protecting us out there. Well, if you remember the Wild West, let's say back from the 1880s when you didn't have law, and then, you know, as Sheriff McGreeny pointed out on our interview Friday, I don't want vigilantism. That is the last thing I want. Eyes and ears? Yeah. Yeah, eyes and ears. Do I want vigilantism? Of course not. If you didn't have, law enforcement, what would you have then? What is it, every man for himself? Or do you think that groups would form?
Prayers.
Thoughts and prayers for everybody? Yeah, thoughts and prayers for everybody. But would you have, if you didn't have a viable police department, what do you think would happen? People would organize into groups to keep their places safe. Let's go to the phones. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. You were talking about the incident that happened in Minneapolis and the guy's knee on the neck and the other officer standing around.
Yeah.
I've seen that a few times, and I think this is just my observation. These other three cops have worked with this other one for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
They know about more about his personality than anybody else that can make any comments on it. I think they were afraid of that guy.
Oh, really?
That if they did something to stop him in his duty or what he wanted to do, that they would have to work with him, and they could not trust him.
Oh, that's a good point. I have not heard that one before, Chris. I haven't heard it either.
But I was looking at the other officers. It's almost like they're afraid. They were afraid of the other guy, the officer with the knee down on the guy's neck.
Well, I don't know. You know, that could be something that they're afraid if they did something like that, that he'd retaliate in some way. You know, we don't know a lot about this guy. We know he has been brought up before on brutality charges or abuse charges. I don't know if they're all brutality charges. And,
right.
But, you know, and many times, though, and let's not forget this, people that get arrested, the first thing, and a lot of times, a lot of them will just say, hey, they beat me up. It's police brutality. You know, it's their aggressiveness. And they bring that up a lot. And in some cases, it's just not true. In some cases, it is true.
Well, there's a fight or flight on both sides of an incident like that. So,
you know,
I can understand being a little more aggressive than you think you should be.
And I understand that too. But when I have a and I've not been in law enforcement, but I have been in areas where we're handcuffing people, well, we're really zip tying them, a lot of them together, that have been armed, and we know that they want to kill us. That once you get them. You know, we've got, but we have sufficient personnel that when we're doing it too. But when you have a guy on the ground and three other officers there, my son-in-law is in law enforcement. He says that there's, you know, a lot of times a law enforcement personnel will put their knee on somebody and just to hold them down while they're getting them cuffed. But at that point, then you start changing around. Or you have somebody in a very painful hold until you get them subdued, and that you turn them loose then. And that's the thing that we need to, that's the thing you need to look at.
And the other thing
afterwards.
That Floyd gentleman was a big man.
Yes, but he was, but Chris,
he's a big man.
Chris, let me say this. Go back, and if I know you've seen the video, go back and look at it. He was a big man. I don't care if he was 6'8 and 350. He was on the ground. He wasn't fighting at that
True.
Point. And at that point, I don't care how big they are. They're not fighting. I've heard stories about they had this one guy. They ended up being shot by the Reading police. The guy they arrested with him was like 6'6". He got into the police car. And he was one of the witnesses that said, no, he was crazy. The guy was high on
right,
drugs.
High on meth or whatever.
Yeah, he was high on drugs. And so, you know, it's not the size. It's when they stop fighting. And this and Floyd had stopped fighting. And that's and there should be anger. There should be something done.
No doubt about it.
Oh, no. I know. You're not saying there shouldn't be.
But I think there was fear from the other three officers towards the officer that did the murder. I think they have a history. They know his personality.
Well, they're saying here, I'm reading here, is that George... Floyd and his killer used to work at the same business, and there was a history between the two. I don't know. I've read that someplace also, but I don't know if I read it here in the chat room, though, and that's the problem. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. We've got to take
a break. Have a good one, Carl.
You bet. Thanks for calling. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Hey, this weekend we had a recall class. We had initial CCWs and people coming in and recertifying. The sheriff's office is open for CCWs again. When you're recertifying, we have classes going there. We had we filled up five ranges at the Reading Gun Club this weekend with Northern Firearms Instruction. Why? Because I believe that this is some of the best instruction you're ever going to find on the concealed carry process, when you can shoot, when you can't, how to safely use your firearm. And for the recertifications, you come in and you get an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, of all the new laws that are having or that have taken place since the last time you qualified in 2 years. And trust me, Sacramento just keeps churning them out so that we give you the latest on what the laws are, and then you go back into the requalification so you can recertify so you can carry again legally. This is Northern Firearms Instruction, and yes, there are private classes. There are pistol classes for those who just want to learn to shoot. You don't want to get your CCW, but you want to learn to shoot. You want to learn something about pistols. But you check out Northern Firearms at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 999-1822. The largest privately owned firearms company here in California, right here, started right here in Reading. And Ted Leidy, it still has hands-on. He is still out there instructing. Northern Firearms Instruction. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our nine new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and four huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for four with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and two large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed three to four, so try all nine. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Yeah, bring it back. Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're kind of doing open line right now, so you need to, if you got something on stuck in your craw or something you want to talk about, it doesn't have to be the protest. It could be just about anything. I want to talk about Shasta Gas Propane for a second. You know, I always, you know, they're the ones that bring the weather. They've been our, they've been with us, they've been partners with us for, gosh, forever. And I can't say enough about the people that run it, Chuck and Judy Kenny. But then you got to, you know, when you say to yourself, well, why? There's other propane and gas companies out there. What is it about Shasta Gas Propane? Everybody offers the price, you know, about the same price on it. But you look at the customer service. They value you, and you can count on that. They will get that gas to you. No matter what it takes, they've, like I said, they've done things like when people were, coming back from the car fire and they were living out on the property and they were providing 110 gallon tanks for free out there and at super prices, better than what they were getting, to make sure people, they'd already gone through enough. These are just some of the things, you know, that you can count on. It's the customer service, locally owned, family operated. All the employees are safety trained. They're all trained. They've Chuck has won awards for hiring veterans, state-level awards. So when you look at it, it's not just the gas propane. It's the company that stands behind their services. And you can't say enough about what Shasta Gas and Propane stands for. Senior veteran discounts plus other things they do for our community. Okay, moving on. The you know, people ask me, but well, some people are just speculating here. That's true. People that call in, this is an open line show. People have their own thoughts about things that why things are happening, why you know, maybe they somebody had written in here that they knew each other. I don't know if that's true, but that's in there. But that is speculation out there. I tell you what, things when you get on social media, if you go on social media, you could have sworn that there were hundreds of out-of-towners coming in to Reading. They even had pictures of the bus. Well, when you get into it, that one bus picture that had BLM written on it, and frankly, the first time I said, hey, there's a BLM bus heading down here, and, you know, okay, I thought, I didn't think Black Lives Matter. I thought, what do you mean they're in a bus? The bus is full from BLM coming down here. I couldn't figure out, well, Bureau of Land Management, what did they have to do with this? And then, you know, then somebody tapped me on the forehead. But as it turns out, the same bus picture was shown like 150 times, I'm sure, in social media. And as the police reported, it wasn't even here when the protest started. The bus was gone. Did they have reports that by the FBI that people were coming into Reading? Yes. Were there a lot of people the police didn't recognize at the protest on Friday night? Yes. However, the amount of protests that have still continued over the weekend and Friday, and then I believe again on Saturday, it was a March for Peace. And that's exactly what it was. That was something Eddie McAllister and many people put together. From the park, and it was absolutely peaceful, as have been every protest in Reading. Think about this. No incidents of violence, no incidents of property being smashed up, none of that. And you go into some of these larger cities, and they've actually looked at systematic looting. One car dealership lost $2 million worth of cars because when they came in, they just took car after car after car. Now that, I don't know if you would call that looting, because that to me sounds like a gang that saw their chance when the police are occupied someplace else to pull off a huge heist on cars and other things like this, systematic. But did it have anything to do with people protesting? Did it have anything to do with people looting? Or was it people using that as a way of being able to get to a place, steal everything they could because they knew the police were someplace else? I guess what I'm saying here is people get all wrought up about, oh, the others were there that Friday. The others, the watchers. Oh, my gosh. Well, what happened? Nothing happened. They ended up at the night, everybody singing the national anthem together. Police are walking with it. Why can't we accept that as something that's absolutely great? That's something about our town that's not going to let violence come here. That's not going to go out there and destroy people's property. That's not going to go out and burn down their neighbor's business. That's what we have here in Reading. Be so thankful for that. And I think that when you get in the majority of cities like ours across America, this is just the way it was. People protest. Hey, we need a change here. We need to have some recognition. Now, how much longer is it going to go on? I don't know. Will there be some change going forward? Maybe more training, maybe ways of doing things better, maybe ways of trying to get people in authority to look at people differently. I think the training is out there now. It's trying to get that training, not just for the police, but what about other programs on how to work with the police, how to make the police job easier by the way that people interact with police. And the police have got to also get into that too. If there's nothing else that comes out of this, I hope that something comes out, is people find ways of moving forward and not continuing to be divisive, that we can get together and move forward as a nation. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Shasta College here with us and all the things that are happening out there. It is about 54 degrees out there, going up to 82 today. A beautiful, beautiful day. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Or from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The police custody death of George Floyd in Minneapolis giving rise to calls for eliminating police departments, and not only in Minneapolis. But President Trump is not on board with the idea, which he calls crazy.
In the wake of George Floyd's death while in police custody, there's been a growing demand by some Democrats and groups, including Black Lives Matter, to defund police departments. By contrast, President Trump has been emphasizing law and order and dominating the streets. He tweets that the radical left Democrats have gone crazy and says the police should not be defunded or abolished. Greg Clugston, Washington.
And as George Floyd's body arrives in Texas for a third and final memorial service, there was a pause a short time ago on Capitol Hill. Congressional Democrats bowing in a moment of silence in memory of Floyd. After making landfall as a tropical storm along Louisiana's Gulf Coast, Cristobal, now a tropical depression moving north, dumping tons of rain as it goes.
Some of the areas that saw a lot of rain were well away from the center. There were some reports of up to a foot of rain in parts of North Florida, which was a few hundred miles east of actually where the center of Cristobal made landfall. But there were patches of rain, 4 to 8 inches, some spots, like I mentioned, up to a foot of rain across southeastern Louisiana, eastward to Florida.
That's a National Hurricane Center's John Cangelosi. 87% of business economists polled for a new survey view a second wave of COVID-19 as posing the greatest threat to the U.S. economy through the end of the year, survey released this morning by the National Association for Business Economics. Wall Street having a good day so far. Right now, the Dow is up 259 points, the S&P 500 index ahead 14, and the NASDAQ currently trading 22 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I love golf. And I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
South Korea reporting 38 new COVID-19 cases, most of them in the Seoul region. The BBC's Laura Bicker is there.
South Korea is still battling cluster outbreaks of coronavirus in and around Seoul. A high school student who visited a theme park with family and friends has been confirmed with the virus. Her school has returned to online classes and the park has been closed. There are now nearly 6 million students back at school after 4 weeks of phased reopenings. Thermal cameras have been placed at the door. Students have to complete their back-to-school app, which checks their symptoms daily. And dividers have been placed in classrooms to try to keep pupils apart.
German industrial production plunged by almost 18% in April compared with the previous month, the height of Europe's coronavirus lockdowns, those statistics released today by Germany's Economy Ministry. News and analysis, townhall.com. The official global coronavirus death toll has now reached at least 400,000.
Infectious diseases consultant Dr. Sarah Logan says clear government communication is vital to stop new spikes from occurring.
The clarity of message has been really, really problematic from the UK government as well as most other governments around the world.
Britain's scientific advisers to the government are saying the pandemic is definitely not all over. Dr. Logan believes the virus may never go away.
Probably ever.
Karen Shamas, London.
And travellers to Britain now being required to go into quarantine for 2 weeks, a sweeping measure meant to halt the further spread of COVID-19. Starting today, all passengers must fill out a form detailing where they will self-isolate, with just a few exceptions. Those failing to comply with the quarantine rules could face a fine. In on Wall Street, the Dow up 260 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Good morning, everybody, the 8th of June, 2020, 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage, your health, your choice. And I'm with Ashley the Magnificent.
Yay.
And who is going to tell us all about the weather.
Today is going to be your coolest day in the foreseeable future with a high of only 82 degrees. So if you have a pool, today would be a great day to jump in. We're looking at mostly clear tonight with a low of 55 and then jumping up to 89 tomorrow. Highest day will be Wednesday at 92, Thursday at 90. But we are looking at a chance of mountain showers on Friday. And we do have some red flag warnings throughout California, including central California where the Quail Fire is headed. So everyone just be safe and try to, today's your chance to pull weeds because we are looking at potential fire weather coming.
There you go. Hey, the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, locally operated. Give them a call at 365-3793, discounts for seniors and veterans. It's now about the time we can take off our masks because of CV-19, but hold those masks, keep those masks with you, wash them. Do what you have to do, because now it's fire season. And as you know, we've had masks before because of the fire season. So, you know, I kind of like to think is that now you're prepared because you got extra masks. You got masks you made, masks your grandmother made, masks that Frank Treadway made for us on the street. He made street masks, which I thought was really cool. Frank, big shout out to you for that. But then now keep your mask because it's fire season. Let's just keep rolling here. Let's just keep rolling, you know, COVID to fire season. What comes after fire season?
More COVID, probably.
More COVID.
The temperatures get cooler.
That's right. When it gets cooler, here comes the COVID again. You know what? Buy your mask now. Think about this. Remember how it was? I don't think we're going to shut down again, but that's just Carl. And remember what it says at the beginning, the opinions that you hear on the show are of the show host, not necessarily of the owners of the station. In this case, yeah, the owners of the station think this. So, okay, I'm here with Peter Griggs. Peter's over there going, I don't know. It's, again, every time I come in here, I feel like I've been ambushed. Peter Griggs, who is the communications director out at Shasta College. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
You always look, I mean, comes in with a tie and, you know, it comes in always ready to go to work here.
I like to look good for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's not, well, really? How come no big hug then when you came in today?
You know, just respecting your physical distance there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay, we're going to talk about some things that are happening. We're having somebody call in from London, England, later on in the show to discuss that Shasta College has taken a lead in helping to build the world history courses.
Correct, yes. Jesse Lynch is our professor, and he'll be calling in about 8:30.
Okay. But on the phone, we have with us Tammy Johnson, who is the early childhood education director over at Shasta College. And you're going to hear something maybe you didn't know about, something that's offered out at Shasta College that I didn't know that they had. And Tammy's ahead of that. So, Tammy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Tammy, who's Tammy Johnson?
Who is Tammy Johnson?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about you, how you got involved with Shasta College, your background, and all that.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for having me on this morning. I'm Tammy Johnson, and I'm the director of the Early Childhood Education Center and Lab Preschool at Shasta College. How did I get here? Well, first of all, I was raised in Northern California, which is my favorite place on earth, and I have lived in many places but couldn't wait to get back here, and so here I am. I grew up on the Hoopa Valley Indian Reservation and then went on to UC Davis, where I knew that I wanted to work with children and families, and initially thought I wanted to be a pediatrician, majoring in biology, and then I kind of moved from the clinical part of that major to the educational and research part. I worked at UC Davis Medical Center with the developmental pediatric support clinic during my graduate work, and then I was able to work in a number of different preschool early childhood education programs. I did have my own preschool that was modeled after the UC Davis Laboratory School in Davis for a number of years. And from there, got experience in other places and ultimately had an opportunity to apply for the position here up at Shasta College. So that's how I got here. I love working with preschool children. I love working with college students. And so this match for me is just a match made in heaven.
Well, do you find that working with preschool children and college students is very much the same?
Well, you know what? We could have quite a discussion as far as human development goes. And, yes, I would say that there are commonalities, lots of curiosity, hopefully lots of motivation, and they want to learn. A college student chooses to go to college because that's usually after the 12th grade graduation, and that is an optional thing.
Okay.
And, yes, I would say that there are a lot of wonderful commonalities.
Really? Can you give the college students timeouts?
Well, you say that. the various guidance principles that we employ in our field have changed over the years, and timeouts have definitely gone out.
No, you're
so
kidding.
We
No, really. I mean, you don't give timeouts anymore?
We do not, and one of the things that we try to use some redirection if a child is needing some support in behavior management, we try to work with them and help them to channel that energy in a positive direction rather than singling them out and excluding them. So there's some differences in the practices today than when, for example, I was raised.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, we try to model that at our lab school, and I can't wait to tell you more about our lab school.
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to do is take an early break so you can come back and tell me about this. I was being a little humorous about college students, but you sure tied them in, you know, curiosity, enthusiasm, and all this from children in your preschools and to college students. So we're here with Tammy Johnson, who heads up the early childhood education for Shasta College. We're going to come back and talk about their lab school, which means laboratory or laboratory school, and preschool. So we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only hospital with a Da Vinci surgical robotic system there. The Da Vinci system helps enable the surgeon to perform minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments and a 3D high-definition view. What's that mean to you? It means less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Formerly, people would have an inpatient type of operation or procedure. Now, it can be an outpatient. Come in the morning, have it done, and be home that afternoon. This is just one of the many reasons that you should go over to Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's your health, your choice. Why not pick the best? We'll be right back after these messages with Shasta College, Tammy Johnson, Peter Griggs, and more.
She's pulling at me, saying that I need you. There's a ball at the castle, and I've been invited. And I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please.
So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my...
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's. Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It makes you want to do the robotic dance when you're hearing these things. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Monday, the 8th of June, 8:18 in the morning, and it's about, 55 degrees out there, going up to 82 today. This portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil. You know what? SST Oil, when all the COVID was going on, they were still delivering the goods. Yeah, that's right. They were delivering gas, oil, diesel, jet fuel all over the western United States and, of course, in our area right here. And now we're getting ready to face that next fire season. When you've got firefighters on the front lines, guess who's on that line right behind them? That's right, SST Oil, delivering gas and diesel to our firefighters so they have all the equipment they need and the jet fuel to the helicopters and the planes that are doing the drops. SST Oil. They remember their past. They look to the future. It's an employee-owned company. They're always looking for great employees. So you can give them a call at 241-1167. They've been in our area since 1967. Think about that. All the great things that SST Oil has done for our community and our region. I'm here with Peter Griggs from the Shasta College, and on the line is Tammy Johnson, who is heads up the Early Childhood Education Center. She's the director there, and she has you have the lab school, which is the laboratory school for preschoolers.
Yes, we have what we call a demonstration lab school. And we serve children ages 3 to 5. We have about 55 families that typically attend each year.
Okay. And what do the tell me about that. Tell me about the children. I have to ask this. Like Peter and I talked about it during the break. Are there bad children?
I would just say that if we set up the environment appropriately and if we have qualified staff in place, which thank goodness we do, then no. Children are not inherently bad.
Just like, I know. We hear that. We hear that all the time, even though you could swear someone were the spawn of the devil. But those are usually other people's kids. My kids were always perfect. okay, so what makes your school unique besides you? Because you sound like a very, very qualified person to be in the charge of this.
Well, thank you for that compliment. What makes the lab school unique? Actually, lab schools in general are unique across the nation because they're affiliated with colleges or universities, and they're set up, like ours is, to serve two purposes, really. One is to model the best practices in our field for high-quality early childhood education for young children, provide them an enriched environment to learn and discover. And secondly, it provides an opportunity for our college students to gain experience in the classroom in what we call practicum or student teaching in our classrooms so that they get that experience in an ideal setting so they can go out into the world and hopefully know what they would need to do in order to provide children in the greater community with those services. So that's what makes us unique. We also serve kind of on the side as a child care support for our college students who are attending classes at Shasta College. So there are lots of different positives having the lab school on campus.
Would you say that when you hear the word laboratory school, and I understand it's more like labs is like hands-on stuff, do you try things that do you try like cutting edge education for these kids for your children? Cutting edge methods of handling problems there?
Great question. Absolutely. In fact, we are nationally accredited by the National Association for the Education of Young Children. And this association is the mark, being accredited by this association is the mark of highest quality. And they rate us. Every year we have to complete the accreditation standards. And then every 5 years it's a more rigorous assessment that they will conduct for our program. But we have to meet standards in 10 different areas, and one of which is what you did mention, making sure that we are staying up on what the latest, most evidence-based, positive practices to work with young children. So we are always employing some new ideas that are backed up by research, whether it's child guidance, whether it's setting up our curriculum materials in the classrooms. One of the hallmarks of our program, and this has been a trend for a while, but it's really gaining a lot of momentum because there is so much positivity in this type of teaching, is using our outdoor classroom. So the lab school at Shasta College is known for its outdoor classroom, which is set up every day just like an indoor classroom, and it is an option for the children. The majority of the day, 5 out of the 6 hours that the children attend, they can free flow into the indoor or outdoor classrooms. And what we've found with outdoor classrooms is so much positivity with space for children to run and play and have big body play. And they can also go to the learning centers in the outdoor classroom and discover and work with materials the same as they would in the indoor classroom. And so we're really try to focus on making sure that that fresh air and that that freedom, that space is available to our children. We find that our behavior issues are almost none when we since we have employed this this model.
So when they go outside, they can run around in circles and get it out of their system then?
Absolutely. Having and this is a model that even the elementary schools are looking at, having some adjacent outdoor spaces to the indoor classroom so children can go and sit outside and work on their book work outside. There's something about being outside and also having that space and that freedom that really does influence all of us, really.
Do you have children with learning disabilities there with you?
Yes, we do. We have an inclusive program, and we welcome children, all children. Of course, we have a priority, and our priority enrollment is for college student families. They are number one. But then we work our way down. But children with special needs are absolutely welcome. And we have probably about 10% of our enrollment of our children that do have either an IEP, which is a special learning program set up for them. And we also work with professionals in the community that are speech therapists and various school psychologists from the public school systems to make sure that our children there at, in our program do get the support that they need in order to be successful in the program.
I have two more questions. One, is it, I read so much that if you send a child to preschool, that their chances of graduating from high school have just gone up tremendously.
Absolutely. That is the premise that the Head Start program bases its entire entire philosophy on, and it is absolutely true, backed up by research, that that early start in life is so important. And, of course, working with the parents and recognizing that the parents are really the child's first teacher. So we are, as teachers, as preschool teachers, we are partners with the parents to make sure we can be successful in supporting children at home and at school. And that family-home connection is so important. We have agencies here in Shasta County that we work with that all share that philosophy and that mission to provide the best that we can quality-wise for our families here in Shasta County.
Okay. How about the pandemic? I mean, it's affected everybody. How did it hit you, especially with, you know, you can see, you know, you've got, how many children do you have in there?
We enroll approximately 55 children.
Okay.
They're not 55 on site every day because they have varying schedules. So the most that we have on site per day is about 40.
Okay. So how did the pandemic, I mean, this must, because, you know, how did you handle that?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Our program has definitely gone online. We follow the Emergency Operations Council at Shasta College. So when Shasta College, we follow whatever is mandated by that emergency office, and we are no longer on campus at this moment. We've moved our program online. We've done the best we can to offer virtual learning classrooms through our private Facebook group, through the Zoom group times, and we've been allowed to have a few drive-through celebrations. But we will – our plan, whether or not we will have children on site in the fall – really will depend on what our campus emergency operations as well as the administrators there decide. Our campus leadership works really closely with the state and local public health officials so that we can determine when we can safely resume those operations. And right now, all classes for summer and fall for the college students are online. And more to come on whether or not we will have children on site in the fall.
The governor just said schools can reopen. Did I see that wrong?
The governor has said this, but there are safety practices that are going to be in place, and what those are looking like are still uncertain. So we're a little bit different than the K-12, the early childhood education segment of education has got some different guidelines, and it really will depend on our leaders at Shasta College working with public health as far as our specific program.
If you have people that said, hey, you know what, I'd really like to get my children involved with this, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, the best place is go to our Shasta College homepage, and you can click on a pull-down menu called Resources, and then it'll take you right to the Early Childhood Education Laboratory School, and you'll have a number of pages that you can look at, or you can directly Google shastacollege.edu/childcare, and that should take you to the lab school with lots of resources, articles, our calendars, etc.
Okay, I do have that one last question. No more timeouts, right? So what do you do with the child that's misbehaving?
Let me just say that I'm not going to tell a parent how to parent, but I'm certainly going to share with parents what the best practices are in our field based on evidence that comes out of our universities and colleges and some of the studies. So we will make that information available and encourage our parents to look at that.
So that's redirection, what you talk, but it's redirection of their efforts and their energies into something more constructive as opposed to destructive, right?
Exactly, and also not excluding the child, helping the child to figure out ways to solve their problem. They might have a conflict with another child, so as teachers, we can help guide them and help equip them with skills to be able to get along with one another, rather than just taking them out of the situation and excluding them. Mm-hmm. You know, once they've calmed themselves, we can work with them and help them learn those skills that are so important for all of life.
How early do you see bullying, Tammy?
Say that again, please.
You know, bullying, kids a bully. How early do you see that?
Bullying can start very, very young. As soon as a child can mimic an adult, they can learn to bully. And so, therefore, the real message is, what are we modeling for our children? It can start very,
it can start very,
very
young. Isn't that interesting? You know, we have such a large number of ACE cases up here, adverse childhood experiences. And I was wondering, you know, since you're seeing them all the time from 3 to 5, and you see bullying at an early age, real early age.
Yes, you can see bullying at a very early age. The important thing is, like I said, to model, positive and healthy relationships, and help people understand that, you know, we are all different, but we all can get along and we all can be friends, and our differences can be embraced. And that's a lot of times what bullying boils down to, is people feel threatened because something's different than them, so they might feel insecure about that, and help people to understand, children especially, that every person is important and they're important themselves, as is their friend.
Great.
And we just try to employ those types of skills of getting along and respect for each other so that we can avoid any bullying situations.
Okay. Hey, Tammy, thank you so much for being with us today. And I'd like to come out and take a look at that someday, see how this is working. And wow. Peter always invites me out to see the different aspects of it. So next fall, hopefully we'll all be back online. I'm not online, but in place.
In person.
Hopefully we'll be back on site, and you are welcome anytime. Just give us a call. We'd love to give you a tour, and thank you so much for having me on this morning.
You bet. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jesse Lynch, professor of world history, who is calling us from London, England, is joining us about this very big deal that he's involved in, and it started right here in Shasta. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
At the barricades of freedom,
shall I join my brothers there?
When our ranks begin to fall,
do I stay? Do I dare?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines are 605-4567 today, the 8th of June. 55 degrees out there, going up to 82 today. It's going to be beautiful. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. They help move dreams forward. That's right. Locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They've just been a huge asset to this community during this COVID-19 crisis. Cornerstone Community Bank, community-oriented. Two locations here in town, 1845 California Street and 192 Hartnell Avenue in the old Raley Shopping Center. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. I'm here with Shasta College, and on the line we have Jesse Lynch, professor of world history. Good morning. And how is it in London, Jesse?
Hello, and thank you for, it's nice to be connected with the North State again. It's fantastic. I'm actually about 3 hours south of London in southern England, but I absolutely love it.
Great. What's the weather today?
Well, overcast, which is pretty typical for England. So I was looking at your lovely weather. I miss Reading.
Well, I tell you, it's 82 today. Yeah, 82 today. It's going to be beautiful, man. Hey.
Oh, enjoy that. I'm jealous.
Jesse, tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a local to there, which is, you know, I'm still kind of wrapping my head around that I'm across the pond here, being able to talk to you all and listen to a radio station that I've been listening to for the last decade, since you're celebrating your last 10 years.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm a Shasta College alum and also a West Valley alum. So, you know, being able to be connected still to a community, love, and that's been a part of my life now, is really quite a joy.
Great. How'd you get to Shasta College?
Well, you know, it's how a lot of people do it in North State. You go to high school and then you have a decision is what you're going to do. And, it's probably one of the best choices that I've made was to start at Shasta in my undergrad career. And, you know, I wasn't sure, like a lot of people, not sure what to major in, and was just taking some regular classes, general education classes. And from there, I had a crossroad of deciding, what am I going to do with this? And I knew early on I wanted to be a history teacher. I always had a passion for history. I understood the importance of understanding our past, but didn't really know how to do it. And I wasn't a very good student in high school, to be honest with you. But I learned that at Shasta, and then from there was able to go on transfer like a lot of students that we have here at Shasta do. And then now brought me to England doing my PhD. So it all started at Shasta, really.
Well, it all started at West Valley, so.
Yep. Well, there you go. Go Eagles.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I have a friend that went to West Valley, and I just want to know, when you grew up, did you also have a mullet? Or was that after your before your time, probably? Okay.
Well, no, there's plenty of people that had mullets there, and there still are, which is fine. You rock the mullet.
Hey, when you talk about history, I love history. I love history. And, in fact, I have a minor in history. When I graduated, because I just, to me, history, if you don't understand history, and I know it's trite to say it, you're going to repeat it, but if you can look at history and the reasons things happened, seems to me you can kind of kind of predict the future there. So talk about, can you tell people about the fundamental benefits of history?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it on the head, because, I mean, now more than ever, it's really important to know our past, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but my social media is inundated, is bombarded with all kinds of interesting appeals to the past, all kinds of interesting, you know, quote, facts about what the history is. And but we're using it to try to make sense of what's happening today. With all the craziness that's happening in the world, people are looking to the past to try to make sense of it, and to either discredit things or to try to, you know, credit certain things. But they're looking at the past. So I think now more than ever, it's important for us to understand the truth of the past. And, you know, that informing ourselves now of the past to make us decisions will help guide us for the future, like you said. So, you know, it's important as an individual. I love history because I really see it in empowering individuals. It's a way to sort of see appealing, looking at the past, looking at individuals and what they've gone through, connecting yourself to those individuals. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 years ago or 20 years ago. If you can find similarities in situations that people gone through that can empower you and show you a direction and ideas of how to make through certain things that you're going through, then at a personal level, it's fantastic. At a culture, at a bigger level, at a community level, it's wonderful, because then you can sort of see collectively how the past is able to shape lives. So, you know, that's one of the best things in all my history class, is able to work with students and looking at that, how we can make sense of right now with all the stuff going on, how to make sense of it by appealing and looking at past individuals and events.
Is it fair, you know, Jesse, you obviously have a really great grasp. We're going to talk about why you're in London here in just a minute. But today we're seeing people using today's, I guess, mores, today's beliefs, and putting them on things that happened 150 years ago. And then kind of like eliminating that,
yeah.
You know, like statues, names, roads.
Right.
And I'm speaking mainly on the Confederate side. They just pulled down the a statue of Robert E. Lee. And So, I mean, what do you think about that, that we're putting today's beliefs on something that happened 150, 200 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the one thing about history that is constant is that people's worldviews are changing, and that how they look at the past is changing. I mean, that's why people ask, you know, why is it important, for example, to have a new textbook? History is old. Why have a new textbook? What's the point of that? And it's constantly changing based on our worldviews and the lens of glasses that we see the world through. And so one thing I teach students, and I think is really important, is how subjective history really is. I mean, there's, if you think about any event, if you look at the Civil War, for example, there are so many of things that happened during the Civil War. We have so many artifacts and primary documents and things that you could pull from all those things and create your own story, right? So that's, you know, you could pull different letters, you could pull different events, you can bring it together and write a true narrative, but it's going to be subjective because of what you're choosing to put into your story. And so it's really important, if when you're looking at the past or if you're looking at current events, what sources they're using to create the story, and therefore, you know, creating an accurate assessment of that. So, you know, that's the beauty of looking at the past. And what you said about current events and looking at certain things of being, you know, tearing things down or whatever, they're appealing to certain things of the past. People are appealing to the past in general based on certain evidence that they're drawing to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's up to us as individuals to say, okay, well, where's this information coming from? Is that the whole story? What other things are? What I like to call silences of history, what are the things that are being dropped in this story that is very important as historians to illuminate, to give you the whole picture, so that you can hear those silent voices that maybe aren't being heard in the story.
That's that is a great answer, to hear the silent voices that you don't ordinarily hear, because when you write a book, and many times, many authors, not every time, but it becomes subjective. Which then, you know, somebody's got a reason they're writing it or whatever. But that's, you know, your answer was just great, to hear the silent voices to tell us the whole story. Hey, Jesse, you're over in, why are you in London? Or why are you south of London right now? I mean, besides the fact that it's a great place to get your PhD.
One thing that surprised me is the beaches. I mean, I can't believe the beach. You would never think of England and beaches, but that's not the reason I'm here, but it is a nice bonus.
What, surfing? Were you surfing there or what?
You know,
the president's listening right now.
Northern California, believe it or not. It's weird. The weather, the water is, not the temperature now. But I'm doing a PhD in medieval history. So my main focus for my own personal research, so going back to sort of silent voices of the past, is looking at writing culture of the Middle Ages and how they're changing the writing. So that's why I'm here doing that, for my own personal, you know, growth through history and to get everything I can. But at the same time, so I moved here in 2016, and at the same time, I continued teaching for Shasta. I never stopped. So I was teaching in person when I lived in Reading, and then when I moved here for the PhD and teaching here, I've continued to teach for Shasta, and it's been rewarding. And it's been nice to still be connected to the North State through the good times and the bad since 2016. And, you know, so it's been an interesting journey to be able to, on my own side, my own personal development of learning history and trying to get as most out of it, but then to bring that back to the North State, bring that back to Shasta and all my students. And, you know, the best thing about online is I could be different places and I can show videos at different castles and cathedrals. Where I live, there's a 14th century cathedral, which if you think about it, it was built almost 200 years before any European set foot in North America. And that's less than a mile from where I live. I mean, it's just, it blows your mind sometimes with
Jesse,
the history around you.
We're going to need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the Open Educational Resource Project. And also the fact is that you are collaborating for that, but from the World History Project to develop, evaluate, and apply a set of curriculum for the World Civilization classes when we get back from this break. You ready?
Yes, that's great.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Alliance Heating and Air came to my house last week because a capacitor blew out, and all of a sudden it was 86 in my house. I called Alliance Heating and Air at 221-2642. They had a technician out the next morning, goes in, looks at it, says it's a capacitor, gets a capacitor out of the truck, walks through the house, puts it in, took a look at the thermostat, and it worked. In and out in 30 minutes, but this is the kind of work that Alliance Heating and Air does. Been in the business over a quarter of a century. I can't say enough about their professionalism and the friendliness of their staff. Check out their website at homecomfort.org or give them a call at 221-2642. We'll be right back with Jesse Lynch, professor of world history from Shasta College, who's just right now 3 hours south of London, laying on the beach.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. Adamson's PeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're having historical music there because we're talking to Jesse Lynch, professor of world history from Shasta College. But Jesse is getting his PhD right now. He's in England. But he also teaches back at – he still teaches at Shasta College. And, Jesse, you've been collaborating with something called the Open Educational Resource Project.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, before the break, we were talking about different sources and how we look at history. And if you think about it, all the textbooks that we traditionally use is written by one person, and it's their view. It's they're putting things together into it. What's great about new resources for classes, OERs, or Online Educational Resources, like the World History Project, is that it's a collaboration of some of the best minds in whatever the field is around the world. And the World History Project is just that. So the writers in it are pulled together for their expertise in certain parts of history, different parts of world history, different regions or eras, and then they put it all together. So everything from different reading assignments, activities, videos. One thing I'd recommend, anyone listening that's interested in history, you go to YouTube and just type in World History Project and see the latest videos that are coming out. There's all free. It's all access there, and you can check them out. And the best thing about it is it's free material. So, as well as I know, textbooks are outrageous in price. And what these kind of new developments are for teaching are free resources. And this is a complete free resource. World History Project has been being developed for the last couple years, mainly for high schools. So you might have a high school student who's listening or a junior high student, and it's also free and being able to use for them. And a lot of different curriculums around the country have been using it, have been buying, it's free for them, so they're able to work with them and to make sure it fits into what they're trying to do for their districts. But now, what's really exciting is I'm going to be the one piloting it to bring it to higher education and what needs to be changed within it, what kind of additional resources to make it applicable for Shasta and then from Shasta to colleges around the country.
Wow. So how'd you get into this?
Well, one of the main writers and project coordinators is is a colleague of mine. And so a couple years ago, he reached out, and I was the writer for a couple of the projects in there for the high school curriculum of it. And since then, he knows my passion for Shasta, my passion for community colleges, and I said, you know, this could be really good stuff. My students, you know, I'm trying to always make sure my students get free resources. You know, money is a concern for all of us, and let alone trying to spend 100 and 200 bucks sometimes for a textbook is outrageous. So whenever I can get free material, and then to be able to have it all at my exposure, be able to use it all and to pick from it and to put together what would be the best for our students. So, so they reached out to me and said, yeah, well, why don't you pilot it? Why don't you use it with your students up at Shasta, and we'll see how it goes. So this is the first time. Actually, today, Shasta College is starting their new semester right now, and so my students who are in that class are going to be the first ones using it this term for the summer. It's going to be great.
Wow. You know, this, again, so if you're a student and you're getting ready to write a paper on something, they could come to this resource and get all this information. And that's written by scholars like yourself to be able to use it as their basis on their paper that they're writing then.
Yeah, definitely. If you Google World History Project, it's a whole community. So teachers from around the country, students from around the country, different, even professors from some of the best universities in the world who are contributing to it are all together in there in this history community online. So they're able to grab from it what they want for certain classes, or students can use it for whatever they're interested in. It's really an interesting thing, and now to be able to bring it to Shasta means that we're able to use it, and I'll be able to learn from my students what they most want out of it, mm-hmm. and what would be most applicable to them, and then be able to create something completely new that's going to be replicated in colleges, you know, around the state and then around the country. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Jesse, I only got a few minutes left here, but the COVID-19 and the canceling of all the classes, what kind of impetus is this given for online education?
Yeah, I mean, what a great question. This, you know, when I started teaching online, I was apprehensive. I like teaching in class. I love that sort of the energy from all the students in there. But what I found is online education is a community. It was really amazing when I was teaching online during the car fire and how much it was able to bring people together. You know, in a lot of the situations we have in life, we don't have a lot of control of what we could do in our lives, but education is one of those. You can take control of it, and you can take control of it and be part of a community online. So right now, whatever the class is, you know, taking an online class allows you to do it on your own time. So, you know, I'm 8 hours ahead of you, and I don't have to, we don't meet in, you know, the same time, so it's whatever works for you. And then being able to connect with people from around the world. So I just was talking to some students that started today, and I have a student in Japan at Shasta College on my online class. I have a student in South America a couple of years ago, and I've always had students that are active military duty taking a class. So bringing that together, when you start talking about history and the discussions and those world views, that background that they have, it makes it so much more in-depth. So having that level of community development that you can do, and getting to know the students and really seeing what they want to hear, what they want to learn, and what empowers them, or what they need to help themselves and help their family and help their community, is really the best part of it.
Okay, I've only got like 2 minutes left now. So this is going to be, it starts here, but it's going to spread to all the community colleges. It'll be offered to all the community colleges across America.
And universities.
And universities.
So we'll see
right.
how it goes. We're going to pilot it and see how it goes here. But the plan is to get that going. And Shasta is the beginning for this whole project.
Is this kind of scary to some universities and colleges? Because, you know, they've got their tenured professors there. And so now I don't have to go to Harvard to learn from the very best in the world.
Well, the best thing about it is these are the professors that are making the materials in this project. So some of the best world historians that are writing books, selling textbooks of their own, are the ones contributing to the projects like this. So It's a new global education community that we're seeing, and this is part of it.
But I can see on this some places that the footprint of all the buildings and everything is going to be reduced. That the if I can sit in my home and get a lecture from one of the best history professors like yourself while I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home, I don't need to go to a brick and mortar.
Yeah, well, it's a new frontier with COVID, isn't it? So we're going to see how it all goes. I mean, the UC system, for example, is all online. They're trying to do all that. So everyone's changing the game, and it's going to be interesting to see how it does. What I love is it is a new opportunity for students. So it'll be fun to see how take advantage of that.
Well, you know, students are not afraid of technology, where some of us that are a little bit older, like Peter, you know, they still have their doubts. Hey, I'm here with Jesse Lynch, professor of world history from Shasta College, who's working on his PhD right now, but is in England. But he's also the leader in this open educational resource project on putting together world civilization classes for everybody via the Internet throughout the throughout the world. And he's kind of the point man on this, and he's right here from Shasta College. Ray, for us.
Thanks. Shasta.
Yeah. And Shasta, of course. Thanks a lot, Jesse, and thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
You bet. Peter, thanks so much again.